There was once a kind man, mostly kind man, a mostly good husband, a mostly good father, a mostly good friend. He grew up in church, but he just didn't believe in all that incarnation stuff that the church proclaimed. It didn't make sense to him, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. He told his wife, "I don't think I'm going to come with you to church today." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite and that he'd much rather just stay at home. So he stayed and his family went. Shortly after his family drove away, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries get heavier and heavier. And then he went back to his chair and began to read. Minutes later, he was startled by a loud thudding sound. Then another and another. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against the window, but when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled outside miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm, and in desperate search for a shelter, they had tried to fly through his large picture window. He couldn't let them just lay there and freeze, and then he remembered his shed. They could be warm in his shed. All he would have to do is to get the birds inside. He put on a coat and tramped through the deepening snow to the shed, and he opened the door. He opened it wide and turned on a light so the birds would see their way in, but the birds didn't come. So he figured maybe food would entice them, and he hurried back inside the house and fetched some bread. He sprinkled crumbs on the ground, making a trail to the opening doorway of the shed, but the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. They continued to flap around helplessly in the snow, and he tried catching them, but he couldn't. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around and waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except the shed. And that's when he realized they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I'm a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how?" They just wouldn't follow. Exhausted, he sank in the snow and began to hallucinate. He thought to himself, "If only I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. I could show them the way to a safe, warm shed, but I would have to be one of them so they could see and hear and understand." At that moment, the church bells began to ring, and the sound reached his ears above the sound of the wind. He sat there, listening to the bells, the glad tidings of Christ's incarnation, and he began to weep. I was looking for a modern-day parable, because sometimes the parables that we've been looking at in the Bible are fit exactly to the people that Jesus was talking to. All the parables relate to farming or merchants or baking bread or things that they would have been intimately familiar with, very mundane, common experiences that they had, like that time when you're sitting in your living room and you hear that thud and you look up and you see that bird like shaking it off or whatever, experiences that you would have at least related to. But we don't exactly have the same sort of visceral reaction to a lot of the stories that we read in the Bible. Sometimes we miss the mundaneness of the stories because farming isn't mundane for us. But as we're reading through the parables, one thing that makes them so powerful is that Jesus is taking common everyday experiences and he's doing something in them that's a twist, something that's a generally common experience, but then some aspect to it that they wouldn't expect. And in that thing that's unexpected, it presents some sort of challenge to the listener. It causes you to think, "Oh, that's a big deal. That's something that I need to look at. I need to change something about my life." Parables were always confrontational. That is the point of the parable. And the same way that as we read that story, in this story, this man, this thing, this experience that he thought was just unrelated to any sort of spiritual matters. He sees the spiritual moment in it, and he is struck by it. That is what we should be experiencing in these parables. By the way, thank you, Bunky, for finding that for me. I looked, scoured everywhere. I was trying to make one. I had such a hard time. Turns out, I am terrible at thinking of parables. So, thanks, Bunky, for finding that. That's Paul Harvey, by the way, for those of you old enough to remember who that is. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Red. This is what's important about parables. This goes back. We looked at this last week. This is from Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching the synagogues and announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The good news is the kingdom of God is at hand. You have an opportunity to be a part of that. You simply have to repent. Repentance means to change your mind. I have been looking at the world a particular way. I've seen my place in the world a particular way. I have been acting towards my own survival, my own instincts, and I need to set aside the instincts that I have in place of God's instincts. He has outlined for us what it looks like to be human all throughout Scripture. We trust Him. Trust Him. Repent. Because you have the opportunity to live life in the kingdom of God. That is, your life can exist through God's goodwill, or where God's will is being done. A kingdom is simply any space that is the realm where the king's will is normal. You have a kingdom. Like if you've got a purse here, like I don't have the right to come take your purse and look through it, because the contents of that purse is your kingdom. Like, you get to say what happens with that space. Things like that. All of us have a certain amount of goods and spaces that we get to say what we do with. And when we lay our kingdom at the kingdom of God, we are then entering into God's kingdom. We are giving Him our life, our space, our stuff, our thoughts. We are repenting from what we think we ought to do in life, and we are giving it to Him. That is what He went everywhere teaching. And then in Mark 4, it says, Jesus used many stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. It's very interesting. In fact, in His public ministry, He never taught without using parables. So the parables always exist to teach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you're reading a parable and you're reading like, oh, that's a neat story. Like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I'm thinking something. Oh, that tells me something about the kingdom of God. That's great. And you miss that in that you are also being taught you would need to make changes to participate in that kingdom. You need to, not just, Jesus isn't just painting a picture of what the kingdom of is like. He is telling you what the kingdom of God is like and explaining what you have to do to be a part of that kingdom. That is, the way Christians explain that is, we die to ourselves and we submit and we follow Christ. Repent, change your thinking, and follow Christ. Every time you're reading a parable, it isn't just explaining what the kingdom of God is like. It is asking you to repent. Okay? So I thought of, I wanted to end this sermon series. We'll see how this goes off. I'm not sure. Usually when you preach, you're opening up the Bible and you are illuminating it, like explaining more about it. But the parables are already an illumination of His teaching. He would use those parables. And what's interesting about them is they are literally designed, the way he constructed them, and he makes this clear, inasmuch as you are prepared to understand, they will help you understand. And some of these you might not get. He says, they were there to teach the people as much as they could understand. So as you're reading through the parables, some of them might be like, I don't really get that. And maybe his point is like, that's okay. Look at it again next year. Look at it again next year. Maybe the point isn't that you gather all the information about God all at once. It's that in as much as you have the information, these stories will mean something to you, or they won't. So this morning what I wanted to do is just read some of these parables. Where Jesus explains them, I'll let him explain them. And where he doesn't, I won't. I'm going to read through them, and I'll kind of wait a little bit, and you can just reflect on it. If you get to a parable that is convicted, that you're like, this is powerful for me, it's okay that you miss the next one. Like, a lot of times when I'm reading through the Bible, I'll be reading, and I'll get to a part that really convicts me, and then I'll keep reading, and I don't even pay attention to what I'm reading because I'm still thinking about that last thing that really got me hard, you know? That's okay. Let it be like that for you. I'll be reading these parables. They're all from Mark 4 or Matthew 13. He just has these lists of the kingdom of God is like. So I'll read through them. If they don't mean anything to you, I think that's okay. I think that was the point of the parable. In as much as you can understand, you'll understand. But pay close attention, see what you can understand, see if there's anything in there that illuminates the kingdom of God in a way that convicts you to change your thinking. That's something that I need to take on board in my life. If you get there, actually think about that. What does it look like to change my life if this is true? If you miss the next thing that I say, that's fine. Keep thinking about that thing that has actually caused you to repent. If it's two or three things this morning, that's great. If it's one, that's great. If in the course of the morning you get to the point that I see something in the kingdom of God that's good, powerful, that I want to take on board, we've given the opportunity for you to come and take communion this morning. And this is what communion is for us. It is a symbolic representation of receiving Christ into ourselves. We are receiving his body, his blood. We're receiving him into us the same way that we are receiving the words that he gave us. We are taking him in, and we're being nourished by him. If you get to the point that you're reading, listening to one of these parables, and you are convicted by it, feel free to come up, take some juice, take some bread, and to chew on it and to drink it while you're chewing on that parable back at your seat. I'm going to have six or seven parables, plenty of time to like do that. Don't feel like you have to rush up here all at once. And if you don't end up taking communion, that's fine. I want you to have the opportunity to receive, to take in physically as you're taking in spiritually Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. I'll see how it goes. We will read the scripture today, and we'll pay attention to it, and we'll see what it does for us. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, as we open your word and we look at your parables, and we receive as much as we can understand, Lord, we come in humility as your children, expectantly hopeful, that we can learn more about what your kingdom is like and how we can change, submit our kingdom to be a part of your kingdom. Because you are really good and we want to be a part of you. Amen. Matthew 13. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seeds in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came in and planted weeds among the wheat. They slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the fields where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where'd they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I'll tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them in bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." Leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples said, "Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field." Jesus replied, The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seeds. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove his kingdom from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Mark 4. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where the light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought into the light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then Jesus added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. But to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what little they understand, will have been taken away from them." Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus also used this illustration. "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in, a lot of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field." Jesus told a similar parable. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered the pearl of great value, he sold everything that he owned and bought it." "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up on shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing away the wicked into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This was the last parable that Jesus gave, or that Matthew recorded, that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13. And he ended this parable by saying, "Do you understand all these things?" He wanted them to understand. Because he was going from town to town preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand."